What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show going down to Savannah, Georgia, Savannah State Tigers. Cleveland Thompson with the Boss Man Show. Had a great run this past season. Took over interim coach mid-year and won a run SIAC tournament. Got him to the big dance, and he's in the big chair for good now. So, coach, good to talk to you, man. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good, pretty good. And thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
You're very well. Coach, let me ask you, man. I know Coach Brian X has been a legend down there, man, for years at Savannah State. He retires mid-year. You take over. How was that whirlwind for you, man, just trying to focus on the task at hand, kind of trying to win games, just not let all the things around you just overwhelm you?
And you said the key word, focus. You know, a lot of times when there's a storm, the best thing to do is focus on how can you get out of the storm. And when I call it a storm, the rest of the season. So, you know, once I heard the news and everything was talked about, my next focus was the guys, getting them to get together and just, you know, getting back locked into what we had left in front of us.
No doubt. You know, you got big wins, home and away, getting a nice record there, then going to run it when we got to the SIAC tournament. So talk about the focus with your guys and trying to, like you said, keep on the task at hand day to day, next practice, next game, next walkthrough, next film session. So talk about your guys and body as well.
Well, you know, I'll say this, you know, it came sudden with Coach Broadnax, but it wasn't, you know, nothing that, you know, him and I hadn't talked about in terms of possibilities. So one of the things I give him a lot of credit for is that just allowing me to put my hands on the guys the season before and building a relationship with them. So, you know, he's loyal to Savannah State. So, you know, it's one of those things, if you didn't feel like the relationship I cultivated with those guys along with, you know, my ability to coach, I don't think coach would have ever stepped down. So just, you know, prior to that is just what helped me is the relationships I had with those guys, understanding what made each and every one of them tick, knowing what buttons to press, and just getting them back refocused.
No doubt, man. And, you know, and what's so beautiful is you did it, you're doing it at your alma mater. So how cool is that
for
absolutely.
You
to be back at your alma mater, leading this program, somewhere you love so much?
It's very surreal. And, you know, I use the word appreciation a lot when it comes to that. You know, as a young person, a lot of times you don't appreciate what you have now, you know. So me having a second chance to come back, being more mature, you know, not to appreciate our environment, but also help to influence the next generation. Now, that's a surreal feeling to me. And I hold that dearly.
No doubt, Coach. And also, man, I'll ask you this, man. I saw some of your games over at Morehouse, man. and the environment over there. Like, talk about that trimming environment, man, and having your guys ready to play on such short turnarounds, but them still having them lock in and get the job done, get those big wins to get to the NCAA tournament and get the honor bid for SIAC.
You know, just constant preparation. When you talk about getting into the tournament, first off, you have to have short-term memory. You know, regardless of how you played the night before, obviously you have to win. But just getting back after each game and dissecting what's next, you know, looking at the things that we didn't do right in the game before, fixing it, and getting to the next opponent and spending a lot of time with scouting. I tell you, I didn't do it by myself. I got some great staff, guys on staff, and one of them is our guy, Randall Moss, that does a lot of our scouting. We put a large emphasis on that, you know, our preparation. So those things help.
No doubt. And you know, playing Saturday, Monday, how you are, now you're going to change it this year, of course. But Saturday, Monday, talk about the practice week prep. So kind of not get so focused on that Monday game, really put all your eggs in that Saturday game, but knowing it's on the back end. So how do you kind of approach that, don't you have a one-day prep between that Saturday and Monday game with some travel as well?
Yeah, well, you know, that don't start the minute that tournament starts. That comes with all the preparation we had prior to that. You kind of start prepping your guys for that. So, far, you know, as you get close to this time, to the tournament, you shift your practice habits and kind of put them in gear towards how the tournament will be to kind of get the guys to adapt, not just physically, but mentally.
No doubt. And Coach, for you, I'm asking this, man. How has Savannah State changed over the years? I went to Tennessee State. I see how it's changed. So yes, how has Savannah State changed for you since you was a student there and now coming back?
Well, I'll say, you know, a lot has changed, but a lot is still the same. It's still based on family. And that's one of the things that helped me as a young student athlete when I was here way back when. And that family atmosphere is still there. And with Dr. Warren's coming on board now, and he's really emphasizing that. You know, I think we're really just building on that as we try to shape these young student athletes.
No doubt. And you said some key word about his family. Like, that's why I tell people about going to HBCUs. It's more of a family. Y'all might go to a PWI. You might get money, fame, whatever, but you're not going to have that family environment you have at HBCU. Where you know they're gonna look out for you and us athletes because they want to succeed. So, and I'm their professor at TSU is still there who I go see when I go up to Dansville and hang out. They're still there. Now, thank them for looking out for me. It's a young kid from Atlanta who didn't know anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and even one of the things from even teaching our young guys now how to do the same things we did so they can navigate the right way on campus. You know, it's great.
No doubt. And for you, man, let me ask you this. Coaching high school ball at Bethesda Academy right there in Savannah. Talk about how that prepared you to become a head coach once you got this opportunity from all the reps being over there, being with students. So talk about that experience as well, or right in the same town that you're in right now.
It was tremendous. It was an educational journey for me every step of the way. We were fairly successful there, but one of the things that really helped me, I had a young fella, Bob Weinauer, a retired NBA general manager that, you know, a white guy, but, you know, he came up, you know, with nothing like I identify with, you know, had to go through all the ranks from high school, college, you know, to the NBA. And I was fortunate enough, he retired in Savannah as I started coaching. And he was a guy that was in my practices every day for 15 years. I can remember winning games and I would sit down with him and he would write me another one because it wasn't just about winning the game. It's about understanding how to win the game the right way, you know, and those things helped me a lot, along with other coaches I had along the way.
No doubt. And let me ask you this, man, for you, as you build this program and put your stamp on it, what are you looking for in a young man off the court? For what's going to be the core values of your program that a young man from Savannah State listening to the interview knows if you recruit him, it's what he has to be about?
He has the you know, aspire to be a distinguished gentleman. You know, it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. But, you know, a young student athlete that aspired to be, to have better for themselves, meaning coming to school, getting an education and using athletics as a vessel to get that education. And my motto is, you know, when my guys that come in, they'll be 10 steps better than they came in. But when they come in, they'll leave with 2 degrees, a degree in basketball and a degree in their field of study. So they have options. They can go in athletics if they want to. They can go in their professional realm. But along the way, we plan to not just teach them basketball, but prepare them in terms of being business-minded, how to navigate and make decisions and also understand their value as young people. So they'll know how to make decisions to better themselves. So, you know, it's a full-fledged educational process when you come and you're a student athlete with us. You're going to get far more than just basketball. And again, it's a blueprint of what I got and what helped me to become who I am today.
And coach, you know, in this new world of NIL and, you know, having their own likeness, talk about the importance of teaching these young men financial responsibility, because they don't understand that money is taxed. And, you know, it's really important.
It's absolutely important. But and I that's why I go back to value in terms of understanding the value they have in themselves, because even before understanding how to manage money, if they don't understand what they bring to the table as an individual, they'll squander the money because they think they don't understand that money, you know, it come and go. So you go from there and then you start teaching them the education of money, you know, what to do with it, you know, investing, things like that.
No doubt, 100%. Because I remember, coach, you probably remember the same thing when you was in school. The credit card companies come to the student center. They offer you pizza or a shirt for a card. Yeah, it's going to sell on you for the rest of your life. And I feel like they'll trap a little bit. I'm out of it now. But for a few years that I was in that trap, I had to get myself out of what I did when I was a sophomore in college.
I will give these guys, student athletes now, a little bit of credit. You know, those things won't get them like they got us back then. They've been educated a little bit earlier in terms of those things. You know, hopefully they're all taking heed to it.
No doubt. And coach, for you, man, as you build your roster here going forward, are you still going? You gonna go more the transfer route, JUCO route, or the high school route? Or you feel like you can do all of the above and find the right fits for you guys?
I think it depends on the year. You know, we have a percentage system that we use based on guys that we have leaving. And in terms of, you know, if they're graduating guys, and we kind of use that formula to determine how we build the roster, you know, the prior year. As a matter of fact, we've already started on next year's recruiting process already. We've zipped up this year and have been kind of just slowly filling out the board for next year based on our percentages and the guys that we have graduating next year. Our goal is to try to stay a season ahead in terms of our recruiting and the goals we have in place for our team.
And coach, for you, man, how cool is it being in Georgia and near Florida, where all this talent is? Where you just go in any one of these states, just driving your car, man, you can find talent. How cool is it for you to be able to be that close? Whether it's in Georgia, you can get Hope kids that's talented, or going down into Florida and find the right kids in Florida and build a roster that way, where you don't have to do too much outward recruiting. You can just do it right in the area and find what you need.
It's pretty cool, and we enjoy that. Again, you know, I don't do it by myself. Another one of our staff members, Coach Bergsteiner, he beats the street. You know, he built relationships. You know, he get it done for us. And like you said, he's up and down that circle. You know, a lot of times doing it, you know, all times of night. But, you know, it takes a lot in order to sustain and build a program the right way. So, you know, we got a bunch of different supporting cats.
No doubt. And you know what, like you said, man, Georgia is so talented. And talk about the high school basketball in Georgia, how it's very at a high level, how the coaching's at a high level, and how when you get guys from Georgia, they're pretty much ready to play as freshmen for you and contribute.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, for me, though, I really wish as those guys matriculate, they would spend a little bit more time educating those guys so they understand what the process looks for them as they get out of high school. You know, so they won't be blindsided by some of the things like the process. You know, you have some guys that can come out of high school and play, but you have some that have that expectation and they're not ready. And if those things are kind of taught to them and understand the process, they'll be more eager to digest that as they work to become a part of any program's rotation.
And coach, I'm asking because you're at the D2 level, and you know you guys don't have guys on campus per se in the summertime. So
I hate that, man. I hate that.
and talk about that, coach. Like, how do you keep your guys engaged and hold them accountable when you can't really touch them per se when they're away from you?
The two C's: culture. I'm sorry, not the two C's. It's a CNA: culture and accountability. You know, building that culture. For instance, for us, when the season is over with. you know, we're done with the season, they get a little bit of time, but then we start our summer preparation meeting. You know, we spend a little bit of time kind of showing them what the process should look like during the summer. So they have a skeleton of at least a baseline of what they should be doing. And now it goes back to trust. You know, if they believe in what we're doing and what our expectations are and the goals they have for themselves, you know, they'll take that jump start and build on that the whole summer. Now, when they get back, we have an evaluation period where we see if they're talking about it or they actually put the work in. But it's culture, you know, and culture, I think the stronger your culture is, the more you're able to hold guys accountable and guys hold themselves accountable. So that's why we really focus on building a true culture. And with building that culture, those things can transpire in the summertime on the Division II level. We know whether we're looking at them or not.
No doubt. And you coach, then you know what that is. That condition test will tell us everything and what you've been doing all summer long. So that condition will tell us everything.
Absolutely.
No doubt, coaches. And talk about this, coach, as well. Educating your young men to eat properly, get sleep, rest and recover, that prehab and rehab and those weights, because you all play a long year. You got 24 conference games coming up this year, which is crazy to me, but that's above both our pay grades. But they have to be ready for their grind, though. Talk about that. Get them about that health piece of it as well.
It's a total education process, man. We start those things as soon as they get back. You know, just getting in the classroom and teaching them about the importance of those things and even getting our athletic trainers involved. You know, a lot of times when they're hearing it from someone that's more geared towards that phase of what we do, they listen a bit more. So we bring them in as well and kind of get them to educate these guys on what to eat, how to eat, and even the importance of getting rest. And then, again, it goes back to holding each other accountable. When you talk about resting, you know, we're not in their dorms with them. So it goes back to what do you want to do and how you want to get it done. These are the things that are necessary, you know.
And, Coach, I got two more for you, brother. First one being, at what point did you decide in your career that you want to get into coaching? At what point in your life kind of triggered you to say, hey, I got the bug to coach now?
You know, that's a real funny question. I've never aspired to be a coach, man, and that's the honest truth. You know, I've always been a leader, you know, and I'm a leader of men, you know. So right now, basketball on the court itself is the vessel that God has given me to lead men. You know, in order to lead them, you got to be successful, right? So learning the sport, he's given me the ability to learn and understand the do's and don'ts of the sports and put people around me to help to educate me. And it's just been my journey. The court is my vessel to teach and lead young men. We're going to win games. We're going to win championships. But the bigger championship is their success afterwards in life. So, you know, I say that to say I've never got up and said, man, this was led that way. And this is my walk of my journey, you know.
No doubt. And last one for you, Coach, this, brother. Like, it's for those who want to come visit Savannah and see you all play, man. What's some cool food spots down in Savannah for them to go hit up when they come see the Tigers play against anybody in the SIAC to get a W that night?
You know, we're going to talk about, like, finger food first. We got 520 Wings. Of course, you know, we have a couple seafood spots downtown. Anything downtown is pretty good on the Riverwalk. You know, so places like that, you know, if you're in town, you can go to a Jamaican spot like Island Breeze. So it's a lot of places to choose from.
No doubt. Coach, we got some in common, Coach. My mom is Jamaican, so I'm half Jamaican too, Coach.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
we share that lineage, brother. My mom is half Jamaican, so I'm right there with you, brother. So we family, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Coach, man, I look forward to seeing you this year. I'm going to have to get down. I told Coach Kelton I'm going to get down there as well. So I'm going to come see you, Coach Kelton, down there, man. And I also got to – I'll probably try to see you when you play Morehouse and Clark, too, as well. So if I ain't got the Hawk stuff to do. So there's no Coach. I'm in your corner, brother. I'll be cheering for you, my guy.
Yes, sir. Cool. And I appreciate it. Appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome, brother. Anytime you want to come on the show, brother, you're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or Check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.